Welcome back to Radio Times. Over the past academic year, the Camden City School District in New Jersey has gone through several big changes. It was taken over by the state, hired a new superintendent, and more recently laid off 272 staff after facing a significant budget shortfall. In the fall, it will open three Renaissance schools, including the Kip Cooper Norcross Academy. These are district charter hybrids. Camden is one of the country's poorest cities, and many of its schools are among the state's worst performing. Today on Radio Times, can you get a good education in Camden? We have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Peyman Ruhanifard is superintendent of the Camden City School District. He's a former chief strategy and innovation officer for Newark Public Schools. He worked for the chancellor of the New York City Department of Education. He taught sixth grade in West Harlem for 2 years with Teach for America. And Peyman Ruhanifard, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times. You were here in January.
Great to be back with you.
Also with us is Naima Watson. She's director of public school partnerships in the Office of Civic Engagement. That's at Rutgers University at their Camden campus. She's a liaison between the campus and the city, providing outreach to children, youth, and K through 12 education. She served on the Camden City Public School Board of Education for 3 years, from 2006 to 2009. She is a Camden native. She graduated from Woodrow Wilson High School. And Naima Watson, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start with you, if I could, Peyman. And the last time you were here, sort of just setting the stage for what you wanted to accomplish this year, one, I know, was to get more children signed up for kindergarten. Did that, in fact, happen?
Pre-K, I believe, is what you're referring to. Yes, so that was one of the commitments in our strategic plan, which we call the Camden Commitment, under the third promise to provide better quality instruction. And so, you know, all the research in the world shows that when students are in a rigorous learning environment, a nurturing environment at an early age, they succeed later in life, which is why we stress the importance of early childhood. So the short answer is yes. We did a really comprehensive citywide recruitment effort, put up billboards, went door-to-door knocking, and we increased the enrollment by 13% in pre-K.
So how many more students will be starting pre-K?
So off the top of my head, I can't tell you exactly how many more, but we had a very high enrollment rate to begin with because we're an Abbott school district. 89% of our students were enrolled. All 3- and 4-year-olds were enrolled. So, you know, we're talking over 100 new students. I don't know the exact number, but it's a big number given the already high starting point. So it's very exciting for us.
Do you see that as a major accomplishment? I know you had many things on your to-do list.
We do. Absolutely. You know, we are very fortunate in that the early childhood department is really one of the bright spots. It's a gem. Katrina McCombs is the director of the program, and she was raised in Camden, went to Camden High School, knows the city inside and out, and she's tremendous. And it's really thanks to her and her team's efforts that we're at this point.
You said a couple of years ago that only 3 of 882 who took the SATs were college ready. This was the academic year 2011-2012. Have those numbers increased? College ready students?
So we have not yet received the latest scores from the SAT. Yeah, and we shared that data point with the general public just to reflect and to think deeply about the increased rigor we need to see. We certainly sent many, many more than 3 students right to college. You know, what the college readiness statistic indicates, if you talk to the College Board, is that students who score over 1550 have a 65% chance or better of getting a B- or better once they enroll in college. So it's not really reflective of matriculation to college. We certainly sent a lot of students to Rutgers, a lot of students to Rowan and Camden County College, but a lot of the students end up dropping out and taking remedial courses and so on.
Because they really weren't college ready.
Correct. And so a lot of them still also kind of persevere and make it, but it's hard, and it shouldn't be that hard.
Let me turn to you, Naima, because you did go to Woodrow Wilson High School. You graduated there, and I kind of framed our discussion talking about Camden today. But is it possible, did you get a good education when you went to Camden Public Schools?
In retrospect, no. And I think that's the realization I came to later on in life, because when I got to Rutgers Camden, you graduate, you're at the top of your class, you're getting A's and B's, and everyone's telling you you're a star. And then you start college and realize that like many of the students, I had a host of remedial classes, and my parents couldn't figure out why. Why can't she take classes for credit for math, for reading, for writing? And so that became a problem, and it slowly made me realize that I had teachers who were nice, some who were caring, but the rigor was definitely not there. And it took me a while to kind of really look back and reflect on that. But some of those same challenges, a lot of those same challenges still exist. Mm. And I've been out of school a considerable amount of time by now.
So why was rigor missing? Why? I mean, what was it, a matter of low expectations, or was it a matter of materials that you didn't have that prepared you for a college education?
You know, I was in school at the time when Abbott was really just starting to be implemented in the schools, and I think the courts were still challenging the decision at the point. So I don't know if we had the financial support that the district has today, and I know people can debate as to whether the Camden City Public Schools have enough money. At that point, they did not. I can say I had one teacher who was extremely rigorous, one of my English teachers, but short of that,
Really,
people were not preparing me for what I was about to enter into college. So it took me being motivated to just stick with it when some of my friends after that first year just stopped.
Let me go back to you, Payman, because Camden gets a lot of money, pays a lot of money for per pupil, something like $27,500. Is that correct?
Correct. That's what we spent.
That's what you spent.
Past fiscal year.
And it's about 15,000 children?
Correct. So in the district, there are about 11,500 and then about 3,500 in charters.
That's a lot of money. I mean, that, you know, in Philadelphia, something like 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 maybe per child. I mean, this is sort of what you see in the most well-heeled districts in the country, $27,000.
It is amongst the highest per pupil funding rates in the country, without question.
And where does that money go?
Well, you know, the vast majority of it goes to personnel, which is why, unfortunately, we did have to lay off some staff members. And that is a deeply unfortunate process for any superintendent to lead alongside his or her community. But the reality is that those staffing ratios were not necessary instructionally nor sustainable financially. So we had one employee for every four students this past year. As far as instructional staff, we had one teacher for every nine students across the district. So the ratios are low. They're going to remain low even after, you know, this round of layoffs. And so optimistic about the path forward. For us, it's about better allocating those resources.
But the idea, I mean, I'm assuming we're talking about a very poor city in New Jersey, in America, that many of these students need special services in order to be able to perform in school. Do you need that $27,000 per pupil?
So we're actually funded at $23,000. We spent $28,000. Put a long story short, put some money on a credit card, which is why we found ourselves in the situation we did. But look, the reality is we need these funds. So you can make a healthy argument that we need even more funds. It's just about better investing them. And, you know, our strategic plan is certainly pointing to the resources that should be invested.
Do you see this? I mean, how do you think this money should be spent, Naima?
I think the allocation, as Payman said, is about correct, but with the original Abbott decision, the district was charged with providing a range of resources and supports for students. So it asked for extended day programming. It says social workers needed to be in school. It provided pre-K. And so I think the challenge was in the district that those dollars were not being allocated correctly. Mm-hmm. Programs that were brought in were not being evaluated to make sure that they were really getting at the needs of the kids. And other programs were just brought in on top of it, so no one really watched the dollars and could truly evaluate to see if they were being spent correctly. So the needs are still there. To take the load off the teachers, you still need social workers. You still need all of these supports. You need to enhance your special education. But if no one is matching that up to the instruction and the things that are taking place, it's going to feel like you don't have enough money.
Is it a different day? I mean, the state took over the school district in Camden. Is it a different day today?
I don't know. I don't know. I was appointed to the school board, really excited about that opportunity. But my biggest frustration was the state has been in the city of Camden and in the Camden City Public Schools for quite some time. And so I think the response from the community is, you've been here. You've had some form of takeover of the education of children in the city of Camden. Why haven't things gotten better? You told us as a community we couldn't do it. You helped us select our superintendent. You appointed members to our board. You reviewed our superintendent reports. You came to our meetings. You helped us create professional development plans. You helped us hire people. But in the end, we still haven't gotten to the point where we need to be. So I think there's always this tension of quote-unquote state intervention, mm-hmm. when it's always been here. So people are wondering, if this is a new day, should we be more optimistic, or is it going to be more of the same?
Do you feel like you're in the middle of all these competing forces, Pema?
Yes and no. Like, I try not to think backward or look backwards all that often and just try to chart the path forward. What I can tell you is that there is, to Naima's point, a lot of frustration about the state's role over the last several years. So they appointed 3 of the board members out of 9 for a long time. There was a state fiscal monitor in place, and you could argue that fiscal monitor should have helped avoid some of the pitfalls that I inherited. So I am equally frustrated in mm-hmm. that, you know, I shouldn't have had to deal with some of these challenges. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the new kind of state intervention, it has more teeth than some of the policies they had put into place before. And I would also argue that, you know, my charge has been to work alongside the community and to be hyper-local and to work alongside community leaders to build our strategic plan, which we've done. And you could certainly say that wasn't the case before.
But who do you answer to? I mean, as the superintendent of Camden City Public Schools or the district, who do you answer to? Your boss?
On an organizational chart, the Commissioner of Education, Dave right. Hespe.
And the State Commissioner of Education.
Correct. Correct. But, you know, day in and day out, my charge is to work alongside the local community. And, you know, there are a lot of different opinions, and not every last person agrees with every last decision we've made. But I think that even our most vocal critics would tell you that we've had an open door policy and that we've been transparent and communicative, and we take that really seriously.
We're almost up on our first break here, but I was reading about a meeting that you were leading, I guess, the announcement of these layoffs, and it got pretty loud and pretty feisty. People were angry.
Sure. I mean, you can imagine. You're talking about people's jobs, their livelihood. It's not fun. And the best thing we could do was, speak to them one-on-one when folks asked for meetings to, you know, in that forum to, you know, explain as clearly as possible why we had to make those decisions. We worked alongside union leadership in making those decisions. We didn't do them behind closed doors. They were unfortunate, but unfortunately, again, necessary in order to ensure that the district didn't go bankrupt.
And it was, what, about $75 million? That was the
shortfall? We inherited a $75 million shortfall on a budget of $360 million. So that's a very sizable gap.
I mean, a tough thing for a district to have to do.
It is, but I do think the superintendent and his team have really tried to listen to the voices, particularly of the parents. Those are the people that you really need to work with. Those are the people you need to be concerned with the most, because their children are being educated in the district. So I do feel optimistic about the relationship the superintendent and his team has been trying to build with the residents of the city. And I've seen it firsthand, the superintendent standing there, and we'll talk to his voices hoarse until he's been able to really meet with people. So optimistic, cautious, but I think it's moving in the right direction.
And that's Naima Watson, who joins us along with Peyman Rahanafard, and we are talking about Camden's school district. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival, a professional equity theater company north of Quakertown, supports WHYY and presents Shakespeare's Macbeth. Visions of power captivate and corrode as dark fantasies become crimson reality. The Bard's penetrating language lays bare our human frailty in this fresh new staging of Shakespeare's epic tale of ambition and treachery. Macbeth, July 17 through August 3rd at Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival. For information, 610-282-WILL or online at pashakespeare.org.
a fresh look at Pennsylvania's distressed cities.
There are a lot of people that really care about this city.
Stories of reinvention as communities face rust or revival.
We will change our neighborhoods with them or without them.
WHYY's Keystone Crossroads, a statewide public media partnership where you are part of the conversation.
There was nothing to look forward to. Now we have some hope.
WHYY.org/Keystone Crossroads. Made possible by a generous grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Deborah Harkness's best-selling All Souls trilogy is about witches, vampires, and demons. It mines 16th century history and modern-day science, but it all began with one question.
If there really are all those creatures, what on earth do they do for a living?
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. We are talking about the state of Camden's public schools with Camden City School District Superintendent Payman Ruhanifard and with Naima Watson. She's Director of Public School Partnerships at Rutgers University Camden, a Camden native, graduated from high school there as well, and went to Rutgers as well after high school. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. We have a tweet from Joseph who said, how is it all right that residents have no control over their kids' education? Now, that's all I have for the tweet. But picking up on what you said, Naeem, about what parents want, what do parents want for their children in Camden?
I think one of the most revealing things to me when the superintendent went on his listening tour earlier in the year was that parents want a quality education, but the top things they were talking about, education was not top on the list. They wanted safety. Mm-hmm. They wanted new school facilities. They wanted access to opportunities for their children. And so education, I think, is wrapped up in that. But it was really this drive for safe schools, newer technology, newer access to opportunities for youth. But all parents want a high-quality education for their children. They all want them to be able to go on and succeed. And they, I think, expect that that's what the school district is going to provide for them, that that's not something they need to clamor and ask for, that it should just be provided.
And when you talk about safe getting to and from school, but also safe within the school building as well.
And having a culture and climate that's accepting, that's open, that's warm, where their children can really walk the halls and not feel scared or upset. And so for the youth that I work with at Rutgers, there some of those challenges do exist mm-hmm. in the schools, and they don't feel safe, and they don't feel welcomed, and they don't feel supported. So that goes into whether they're going to be connected to their education.
Is that because of the principal, because of teachers, because of bad experiences?
I think it's a whole host of things, I think. With any school building, it begins with the leadership. And so if the leadership is not creating this culture of a caring and warm environment where there is zero tolerance for bullying or zero tolerance for issues that may come up, it's going to be a challenge. And then if the teachers are not engaged, if they're not caring, and this is not to say that we don't have teachers and leaders in the district who aren't, because they are, but it really is a system, and everyone has to be on board and supporting the education through a variety of ways. And that is where there's some tension and disconnect.
You want to speak to that?
I completely agree with Naima. What I would add to that is, so just to kind of recap what she said, I think it's a systemic failure, right? And it certainly begins at school leadership. But what I would add, though, is the bureaucracy's role in all of this. And for the longest time, the bureaucracy in Camden, the school district specifically here, has been unwieldy. And, you know, our central office, there were 380 positions there, and it was kind of unclear what most people were there to do. And, you know, the stories we heard from our educators was that different groups in the central office would push in and micromanage, and oftentimes like share conflicting, at best redundant information, right? And so it would just confuse our teachers and confuse our principals. So we haven't exactly set them up to succeed either. Mm-hmm. And so our job has been to kind of streamline the bureaucracy's role to provide support where it's needed and to get out of the way when good things are happening. And so that's a big focus for us.
And good things are happening in Camden?
There are bright spots. You know, like I mentioned, early childhood is certainly a bright spot. We have some schools that are showing a tremendous amount of progress with their students. And our goal is to create autonomy. So to empower those teachers, give them flexibility to do what they do best, because at the end of the day, educators are closest to our kids. You know, the superintendent is not the unit of change. The curriculum is not the unit of change. The school is the unit of change, and we need to empower our educators to serve our students.
We were talking about this before going on the air. The Inquirer profiled a young woman, a graduate, I think from the same high school that you graduated from, Naima, and the fact that she's going on to college and all the things that she had to overcome in order to graduate. And she was the valedictorian and obviously an extraordinarily accomplished person. But reading through it, I just felt like, why has life been so hard for her? I mean, it's amazing that she has prevailed, and yes, obviously there's some spirit and some spark in her, but nonetheless, for another child, one could see why they would just give up and perhaps drop out of school.
And I think that's some of the biggest issues that are impacting our youth in the city of Camden. Education is certainly one piece of it, and the quality and the rigor they're getting inside, but it's also all the things they're experiencing outside of the school building that they bring in, that they have to deal with, that they have to carry and challenge. And so that's why I feel like schools need to be set up where the teachers teach, but there's other supports there that will be a safety net for students and helping them and their families kind of work through some of these issues. Because if you're worried about, you know, family members, if you don't have enough food, if your family doesn't have money, if you're homeless, or if you're couch hopping, if you're worried about these things, how are you supposed to be able to maintain? But through all of her adversity, she did. And that story is one of countless stories in the city of Camden that I don't think it gets told enough. We do have students who every day are facing challenges. They get up, they go to school, and they do everything that's expected of them, and they just need the support and the guidance to getting to the next step. And so that's where the focus needs to be, back on the students and making sure they have the support and guidance they need, because they're following the path that as adults we lay for them.
Sure.
And so we don't want to set them up for failure by saying, okay, do all of these things and then you're going to have access to college. But if we don't make that pathway rigorous enough so that if they get there and when they get there, they're not able to achieve, we haven't done right by those students.
Do you see, you're nodding your head, do you see that as sort of the essential part of education in Camden?
I do, and I've been pretty public about this as far as the lack of rigor in our schools, and that begins by, again, providing better support to our educators, and you know, we're taking that really seriously. So it's a combination of the nurturing environments that we see in most of our schools, but with setting higher expectations, and that can be really hard. But at the end of the day, our kids are just as capable as kids in other parts of South Jersey and across the river here. So, you know, we've just got to make sure that we can set those high standards for them.
Yet, something like 23 out of 26 schools are low performing, among the most low performing in the state. I mean, that's also a reality of schools in Camden.
Yeah, without question, on paper, Camden is arguably one of the lowest, if not the lowest, performing school district in the country. But when you actually visit schools, that's not what you feel, right? We've got tremendous students. And for us, we are evaluating not just test scores. And you know, we've been pretty clear about this with our families. It's not just about state assessments, or I should say sheer proficiency. We want to look also at progress. So if you go from a low starting point and show some moderate improvements, that's great, and we want to reward that. But also we're looking at qualitative factors, the school culture and climate. What does it feel like? Is the school safe? What do parents think of the school? Do a lot of surveying. So it's a combination of those things, and we want to, again, reward schools that are showing progress.
There are a lot of old buildings, old school buildings in Camden. I mean, is it time for some kind of a construction project? You're grinning there, Naima.
Yeah, so this,
you know, these buildings well, right?
yes, and you know, we had the SDA at one time where they were really charged to try to provide that support to the school districts, the districts that were called the Abbott School Districts, to come in and help, you know, build new school buildings, and it never quite came to fruition. Mm-hmm. So in the city, we have a couple of new buildings, and that does create a completely different climate for the students to walk into a brand new school building with state-of-the-art technology. But it was something for a variety of factors, political, financial, that Camden never was able to really get the support and the resources it needed to build as many new schools as the city deserves.
And this SDA is the New Jersey Schools Development Authority.
Mm-hmm.
So they identified, in fact, I think Camden High School was built in 1916.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 100 years ago.
Yeah, half of our buildings were constructed before 1928. So it's a real challenge for us. It's actually the second promise in our strategic plan to improve the quality of facilities. We're coming at it a number of different angles. It's really, really hard. I would argue the School Development Authority, under their new leader, Charles McKenna, is moving more quickly than before. And, you know, we're hopeful. Camden High, in particular, is a dilapidated building. And it's truly unfortunate. Those kids deserve better. And you know, we're making some progress and hope to have something announced later this calendar year. And we're also hoping through the Urban Hope Act, through these new Renaissance schools, they come with facilities funding. And you know, that's another way of trying to revitalize facilities.
And I do want to talk about that. Let me just quickly reintroduce the two of you. That's Payman Ruhanafard. He is superintendent for the Camden City School District, a job he's had for about a year now. Also with us, Naima Watson, director of public school partnerships in the Office of Civic Engagement at Rutgers University in Camden. We have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. And again, you can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. We're talking about how to get an education in Camden. Payman, you just talked about the Renaissance schools. There are three Renaissance schools that will open in the fall. These are what sounds like kind of a hybrid between a charter and a district school. How are they supposed to work, and what are they supposed to offer that the district schools can't or won't? Or don't?
Sure. So what makes them unique is, so you mentioned it's a hybrid district charter school. So it's similar to a charter in that they've got flexibility to hire and have that autonomy to run their school. They're also a neighborhood school. So most traditional charters, as you may know, run a lottery across the entire school district. But for the Renaissance schools, they actually serve a very specific neighborhood. And if you're a student and family that lives in that neighborhood, you have first preference to that school, which I think is a very neat feature. And then thirdly, they come with increased facilities funding. So they allow for, I should say, mandated to construct a new facility or significantly renovate an existing facility. And, you know, we're a school district that, for a variety of reasons you heard from Naima, weren't able to benefit from the School Development Authority for a very, very long time. And, you know, the SDA has its own challenges.
Right.
In the last 4 years, they haven't constructed a new facility in the state of New Jersey, and that's not great. But I do believe in Charles McKenna's leadership. Hopefully we'll make some progress in the next few months and years. So we want to look to alternative ways to bring new facilities and better schools to Camden. Urban Hope Act allows us to do that.
And we're talking about KIPP. We're talking about Mastery. We're talking about Uncommon, right? These are the charter schools that are coming in?
Correct. So KIPP was approved about a year ago, and then Uncommon and Mastery were just recently approved. And these are, you know, three of the most successful nonprofit school organizations in the country. I think you all are familiar with Mastery here right. In Philly. So, you know, it's really important for us to be able to provide these new school options to students and families in a school district that desperately needs high-quality school options.
How do you see these schools, Naima?
I think the Renaissance option could potentially be a good option for what Payman just said, because these schools have a track record already. I think there's a difference between a brand new charter school system or school being constructed that really has not been proven to be successful versus these institutions. And I'm mostly familiar with KIPP and, mm-hmm. and Mastery, but come with a track record of high quality education and parental engagement and transition from their high schools into college and having success rates there. So I think this hybrid model, especially making sure that students from the neighborhood get selected to go to these schools, is a really good pathway forward. Again, people are still kind of hesitant about it, but I think this will be something to really look forward to because of their proven track record already.
Well, charter schools are controversial. I mean, in certain ways, it does offer choice for mm-hmm. parents. On the other hand, there's a concern that these schools, and they sound like they're going to offer things that the district school doesn't have, are going to siphon off all the high-achieving kids, and the district is left with kids that were going to be more struggling as students.
Right, so I don't believe that we should be a district full of charters and Renaissance schools. I think we still need to have a core of public education that's very solid for all students who attend, because you will have some parents who won't take the opportunity to transition their children into charter schools, or for other reasons want to keep their children in a more traditional public school. So I think all options need to be on the table to look at that. But I think I would have some issues if I felt like the city was going in a direction where every single school was a charter school or a Renaissance school, because I think we also have to look and see, are the charters performing better mm-hmm. than the district schools? And there are some district schools that I think haven't gotten really a good they haven't really been touted, but are really trying to move the needle in their student growth and are performing at the same levels as some of the high-performing charters in the city. So I think that still needs to be an option for parents.
But if Renaissance schools are going to have money for new facilities, aren't they, I mean, that's going to be a draw, is that? I mean, it seems that it creates a bit of an unlevel playing field.
I think it's a fair argument. You know, what I would say is, you know, we have a handful of district facilities that are gorgeous, right? From Dudley to Caddo to Creative Arts Morgan Village. So, you know, we're hopefully going to now renovate Camden High School and give it the resources it needs. So, you know, we just want to add to those efforts and ensure that all students and families are benefiting from better facilities now through the Urban Hope Act. And I think what's important to point out here is, to a parent, a school is a school is a school. They don't think about the governance structure of a school. They just think about, like you heard from Naima, safety, better quality facility, nurturing environment, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's what we want to help provide for them. I do want to quickly address your point about struggling students potentially being caught up in only kind of district schools. So again, what makes Renaissance schools so unique and I think appealing as kind of a policy tool for us is they have to serve every last student that lives in that neighborhood. So you do hear some stories about charters who are skimming and potentially counseling out kids who have special needs. And I think that's real, and we're trying to hold those schools accountable. But with Renaissance schools, you can't do that. And we actually have contracts with them.
So they must accept that
they have to serve all students. That's correct.
Okay. Even if they get flooded with students applying?
Regardless of who comes to the doors, they have to serve those students. And, you know, Camden is a city, 93% of our students qualify for free lunch, not free and reduced, free lunch. So for the most part, you're talking about a very needy student population all the way across the city.
Let me get Brian from Camden to join us on Radio Times. Brian, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Brian Morton. I'm a father of a five-year-old who recently attended the Early Childhood Education Development Center in Camden. Public centers. And this fall, she will be going into KIPP, which is one of the Renaissance schools.
Right.
So I wanted to put out there that the Renaissance, we support the Renaissance because they're actually a good response to what's going on in the city, and that some of the neighborhoods that were mentioned earlier as having a lack of schools that were supposed to be built under the SDA will now see schools built in their neighborhood under this Renaissance partnership. That's exciting for me as a parent is that my five-year-old will be entering into an academic setting that's on par with the surrounding districts. So she's not just going to be learning how to compete against her neighbor. She's going to be learning how to compete against students coming from suburban districts.
Well, Brian,
and that's important.
Yeah, let me take your call only because your phone is going in and out. But what we hear is a student, a parent, and a student using the Renaissance School and having high hopes that he's going to get the kind of education or his daughter's going to get the kind of education that he wants.
Look, and we think that's important, and students and families should have that option. You know, what I also want to stress is we're right now working to improve all schools, the district schools included. So, you know, for us, it's a combination of those efforts. And if I failed to mention that earlier, I want to stress it now, which is we think that it's important to provide these new options because they provide an immediate benefit to the school district, while simultaneously being that rising tide that lifts all boats for the existing schools. And that's really, really hard work. That takes longer. But you know, we're taking both paths.
You want to add to that, Naima?
No, I think what he's saying is absolutely correct, and that we need to really do something now. It's been too long that our children just have not received a high-quality education. And so I see it for the youth that we work with. We start with students in grade 4, and we have programming up to students in grade 12. When you get into the high school years, you know, your heart sinks because you know they're about to make this transition, and they may not be ready for it. So we need something very, very immediate. And again, using some providers that come with some level of success is, I think that's why parents and community members are feeling hopeful, because they have a sense of what they're going to get on the back end.
And that's Naima Watson. She's director of public school partnerships at Rutgers University at Camden. Also with us, Payman Ruhanafard. He is the superintendent of the Camden City Schools District. Much going on in Camden. Now, we're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. A lot of callers that want to join us as well. 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This Week in This American Life, Bob had a good job as an electrician, but he wanted to do something bigger. And he came up with an idea for an invention. Sat down with a bunch of physics books to see if it could work.
Of course, I never got to the invention because I found something else. It's something every Nobel Prize winning physicist missed.
It's something Einstein got wrong. It's something Newton got wrong. That is, if Bob's right.
Tonight at 10 on WHYY.
On the next Fresh Air, Boko Haram, the Islamist militant group which kidnapped more than 260 girls from a school in northern Nigeria. We talk with Alex Perry, who wrote the Newsweek cover story about the group and has written a new book called The Hunt for Boko Haram. We'll talk about the group's founder, its current leader, and how it tries to justify the atrocities it's committed. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
If an epidemic of insomnia took over the world, what would be the cure?
The notion of donating, and should you donate, and what happens if you donate, and is there contamination? And sleep, we take it for granted, but it's like air, it's like food, all of the things that we need.
It's the provocative premise of the novel Sleep Donation, the next in our book club series on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Naima Watson and Payman Ruhanifard about Camden's schools, Renaissance schools, public schools, charter schools, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Payman, we have a tweet from Stephen. Why was Kip invited back to Camden after having already opened and left a school in Camden?
Yeah, so there was a school called Freedom Academy, which was run by a different KIPP cluster, and it really struggled. The stories I've heard is it was arguably the worst school
really?
In the entire school district, and it wasn't a safe place. And the community in Fairview would tell you the same thing. And so what happened was the state came in and brought in a new management team and brought in a new organization called Democracy Prep. And it's actually one of the neat stories for us because in the last year it's shown the most gains of any school in the state. So what they did was they brought a new principal. Her name is Bridget Casada Rosa, and she is a Camden native and was a principal in Newark for a long time and moved to be closer to her family. And she's been running the school, and it's a remarkable place. And in 1 year, they've completely turned it around. But it was a completely different KIPP management team than the one that applied through the Renaissance School program.
Naima, I was asking you about your program. You deal with about 600, 700 kids in Camden. The idea is to provide sort of support services for kids going through school to give them the kind of academic support, perhaps social support that they need to do well in school or to do better in school?
All of those things. I think as a university, we really wanted to engage with our community in a profound way. And so with our former chancellor coming from educators himself, he wanted to have a better connection with all of the schools in the city of Camden. So we do expanded learning programs, college access programs, really to try to create an educational pipeline from wherever the students are at, getting them to their next phase and then getting them into higher education.
And can you rely? Is a good teacher enough, or do these students need more than that?
They need more than that. A good teacher can only do so much, and it really is about the support services. I did a conference last year where it was all of the things they don't tell you about being a university, kind of engaging in a K-12 system. And so you can keep children on track academically, again, but we hear day after day after day all of the personal and social issues that children and their families are facing that keep them disconnected from their education or keep them really behind the eight ball. So it's surrounding them with those supports that's truly needed.
As you know, there have been layoffs here in Philadelphia, and some of the schools don't have counselors or they're there only a couple of hours a week. Do the schools in Camden have counselors and nurses and people on staff that are there for the children?
Without question. So we're still richly staffed as far, you know, when you look at any one school in Camden, even though we unfortunately did lose some teachers and supporting staff. We still have a guidance counselor at every single school, art, music, et cetera. So our ratios are still very, very low. But to Naima's point, it is not just the school district, but the partners that we work with, the rest of the community coming together to make sure that our students are successful. And, you know, there are students that come to mind as I'm listening to Naima talk, like Dejan Sullivan, who just graduated this year from Camden High School, and he's a kid that wakes up at 4 in the morning to go on a 3-mile run. He's a track athlete and does the same thing at the end of the day. But in between, when he's not in class, he's participating in like myriad of different programs. And, you know, he's like through his own kind of sheer will and resilience gotten to this point, and we just need to better engage more students, because when they're they're not fully engaged outside of school, before school, that's when we lose them.
And the dropout rate is what, around 50%? Or
correct.
Varies?
Our graduation rate is 53%.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, is that pretty typical for an urban school, or is that, how does that compared, let's say, to Philly or some of these other schools?
It's generally speaking, it's lower. And, you know, when you look at, again, the college readiness, it's one of the lowest in the country.
And is there a grade at which you think kids sort of are on that path to dropping out? You know, something is it ninth grade where you begin to see them disconnect?
Eighth to ninth grade is certainly a tough transition point for a lot of students. Students can legally drop out at the age of 16, and so you certainly see a lot of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. You want to add to that, Naima? Then we'll get to our callers.
And I think that's why we started the Rutgers Future Scholars Program to get children in the seventh grade, because we knew that transition was going to be rough from them. From the eighth to the ninth grade. And so they apply in the seventh grade, and once they get into the program, we provide them academic and social support from eighth grade on up until they graduate high school. And if they graduate high school and successfully get into Rutgers, Rutgers will provide them a tuition scholarship to attend the university. But we knew starting earlier was the key.
And seventh, eighth grade seems to be that pivot point. Let me get Carmen from Camden to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Carmen. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm a mom. I have three kids in Camden City Public Schools, two in elementary and one in high school. I'd like to disagree, actually, with Mr. Rahanaford, respectfully,
sure,
on the fact that he's speaking for the parents and that we've asked for these things that they're providing, the new charter schools coming into the city. I, as a parent, and I've been meeting with a lot of parents and advocating because I want to save my public schools and I want to save my public school teachers, we're screaming out for resources. You know, if a school doesn't have the appropriate resources, how can they provide the appropriate education? The students that are leaving these public schools to go to the new charter schools and the new Renaissance schools, you know, these are the same students that can easily succeed in the current public schools if they have the same resources.
Well, Carmen,
the issue is that the funding that went towards these new charter schools, you know, would have preferably been allocated to the public schools and to remodeling them and to buying the new technology that these charter schools are going to be getting.
Yeah, and Carmen, that's certainly an argument that I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard as well. Let me get a response from you, Pema.
Yeah, Carmen, it's good to hear from you. By the way, I'm still waiting to hear back about getting together with you and the other parents from Sharp Family School. I've had a number of conversations with Carmen. Like, the way I think about it is this. Before I ever got here, you had 3,500 families who enrolled their students into charter schools, with many, many more on the wait list. So certainly a lot of families were voting with their feet, so to speak, and looking for something different. And I think we need to kind of value that perspective. And so for us, as far as the resources go, when students are enrolled in different school options, those schools should have the resources to be able to serve their students. And so we have what I consider to be a very fair student funding formula here, thanks to the Abbott Court ruling and the good work of David Shira and the ELC, who, you know, we may not see eye to eye on every issue, but certainly agree on the way funding works in New Jersey. We, again, just have to better allocate those funds. As far as our schools, for every student that we serve, I believe that we have fair funding. We just need to rethink, again, the allocation of those funds. And at Sharp Family School, it's an older facility, and we need to improve certain things there. We need to make sure that teachers have access to copies and instructional resources. This past year, we put $5 million into we have 26 district schools. That's new textbooks, K-12, for both literacy and math.
Did all those textbooks and materials?
I would give us a B- on the implementation,
okay.
Right? So for the most part, the resources got there. Some were delayed. Some classrooms got the wrong stuff, right? So, you know, we're working to improve those things, right. But the funds are there. I sympathize with Carmen in that sometimes, like, you don't see the immediate results, and, you know, doing that within a school district is really hard.
Well, and what I hear her saying is that if the state or the district is willing to invest in these Renaissance schools, why can't you invest in our schools? I mean, if these Renaissance schools have to have new facilities, when do we get our new facilities?
Look, it's a totally fair question, and it's a public policy conundrum. So Renaissance schools actually get less funds. For every student they get fewer funds than the district does. They get about 90 cents on the dollar. And with the 90 cents, they can hire staff, run a school, and build a new facility because they're going outside the public domain, right? They're basically more efficiently utilizing resources to construct a new facility because they don't have to go through the SDA.
Oh.
That's a lot faster. It's a more efficient use of resources. And so that's the benefit. Do I wish, or if I could wave a wand and everything happened through the SDA in a timely manner, like, yeah, that's what we would do. But we're talking about decades of negligence in the city. Like Naima said, we can't afford to wait. Like, kids get one shot at their education,
right,
and we don't have good enough schools, we don't have great enough facilities. But at the same time, and I hear Carmen on this, we've got a lot of work to do with our existing schools, and I do believe that they have the sufficient resources. We just got to work with the parents to better understand how they can help shape the decision-making, because there's a role for them.
Yeah, Carmen, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me see what Philomena has to say. It looks like Philomena is calling us from Hunterdon County in New Jersey. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm a teacher in Hunterdon County, and I was just calling to say that I have some concerns about the Teacher America staff who are, in many cases, taking the jobs of certified teachers. Teacher America staff, you know, undermine the stability of the long-term community building and the potential for growth in the school. They're not experienced. They teach for a few years, and they're not held to the same high standards in their preparation as a teacher who completes a nationally accredited teacher education program.
Mm. Philomena, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Paimon, you were a Teach for America teacher. Do you agree with her?
I would respectfully disagree. I have heard that concern in different places. I think it's important to first of all, mention that in the Camden City School District, we're actually not using Teach for America. But I do understand that some of the Renaissance schools might be utilizing Teach for America as a resource. Look, I think that Teach for America would tell you that there's certainly a lot they could do better to train and equip their teachers to be successful. But for the most part, they have a very successful track record. They have a lot of alumni who go on to become principals and longtime educators and take on leadership posts. So, yeah, that's my short response.
Okay. Philomena, thanks for the call. Did you want anything to that, Naima?
I think a lot of what's going on in education and has in Camden surrounds accountability. I think, again, when it comes back to the resources and how the funding has been spent, it's making sure that from district leadership to principals to the teachers, that everyone is held accountable and to some standard of excellence. And I feel like that has been where the breakdown has occurred, that the dollars and resources came into the district. But at various levels, people were not held accountable for how those dollars were spent. And so whether that was at a prior superintendent level, at a school board level, of which I was a member,
right,
at a principal level, at a teacher level, there was a huge breakdown. And again, not to say that all of the principals and teachers and leadership are ineffective, because they're not. Some were really able to do tremendous things in their schools with their students, engaging with partners, understanding how to navigate the bureaucracy of making sure that their children got a high quality education. But that wasn't replicated and hasn't been replicated across schools. So my hope is that people will be held more accountable for what they're doing, and that accountability will be transparent. So I know what my school is doing. What are the grades of the teachers? I want to know at the teacher level, how is that teacher teaching in that class with my child? And I think that's where we need to get to, so we can unearth some of these myths and things that are existing in the city.
And by accountability, is it you know, national test scores or state test scores? How do you determine accountability and whether a teacher is doing their job?
I don't think it should be solely based on the test scores. I have huge issues with the standardized test, but I think there are a range of things, tests that happen outside of the standardized test, that benchmarks and markers that children need to meet, and we need to make sure that the teachers are getting the children to that point, and that they're being led by leaders who understand that and understand how to move student growth. And if something's happening at the level of the student, if the teacher can't connect with them for some reason, it may not be the fault of the teacher. Whatever things are going on in this child's life that we may need to understand and provide support. So it has to be a more holistic way of approaching it. But I think when we can get to those conversations and have parents and community members truly understand the educational rigor and what's going on in the classroom, maybe some of these conversations can change in the city.
Well, we have a teacher on the line. Let me get Karen from Camden to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Karen. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing, Naima and Paimon? This is Karen Borelli. I just had a concern that with all the layoffs of the instructional staff, there's a rumor, even though we had the assignments in May of our buildings and everything,
We're hearing rumors that there's going to be a major mix-up or transfers of staff, and it brings a lot of concern because just as you are preparing for the school year, so are we in the summer. You know, same thing that you're talking about, like for student growth, accountability, engagement, you know, to make sure that we have our content area, mm-hmm. our grade level, and we're ready and preparing for September. But then a lot of people are having agita, wondering, like, with these rumors floating around, are we really going to, you know, have those assignments?
Well, Karen, you called the right place, and let me see what our guest Payman Ruhanafart has to say.
Hey, Karen, how you doing? Look, it's okay. A rumor. So right now
That's why I'm coming right here.
No, that's why she called.
As always.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks.
Yeah. All right.
It's a rumor, meaning it's not true? Or is she saying, you know, the assignments, I guess our class assignments, are they for real or is something going to change in the summer?
So what Karen is getting at is, you know, the way that we had to implement the layoffs was by reverse seniority, and so there's some bumping that happens. So if a certain position is eliminated, then or a certain number of staff within a position is eliminated, the most senior staff stay. Now, some folks have tenure, so even if they lose their position at one school, they may bump someone else out in another school. Mm-hmm. So there is some movement that has to happen, and I think that's what Karen's getting at. Be happy to follow up with her after this, by the way, to talk through it in some more detail. It's a pretty complicated process. But, you know, what we've been doing all along is just following the collective bargaining agreement and following statute. And where we can actually find mutual consent, so the principal actually wants a certain staff member of their school and the staff member wants to be at that school, we certainly do that. But everything else is just following code and following collective bargaining agreement.
What I hear, though, we're almost out of time here. Karen is saying, I don't want to find out the day before school starts that I'm going to be in a different school than I was planning.
Yeah, no, and we've made the commitment to get that word out, ideally by the end of this month. In the past, it's dragged on into the first, second week of August. We're hoping to avoid that.
Well, on that note, my thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times, talking about schools in Camden. Payman Ruhanafart, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And he's superintendent for the Camden City Public School District. Also, Naima Watson, thank you very much for joining us as well. Director of Public School Partnerships in the Office of Civic Engagement. That's at Rutgers University in Camden. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program, including podcasts, Facebook. In fact, we posted photos of our guests on our Facebook page, Twitter as well, email archives, and how to hear us on satellite radio, whyy.org/Radio Times. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of the show. Ariel Plotnick, our summer intern. Sophie Reed helping us out this week. And the Radio Times producers are Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Builder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thank you so much for joining us.